number two, Chase and Big Joe on this Good Friday. Hope you're having an awesome day so far. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. And as we do every Friday at this time, we say hello to our man, forever Titans wide receiver, Chris Sanders, who is on the line with him. We're grateful for him. Chris, how are you? What is our question of the day is, what's good in your life? So I'll lead with that. What is good in the life of Chris Sanders?
Man, you know what's good, man, is just, you know, I know it's Good Friday, and one thing that's good in my life is just God's grace. I mean, and I'm not trying to preach to anybody, this is just my personal, that it's, I'm just thankful for his grace. I'm thankful for his forgiveness, and sometimes we get off track, and sometimes we go the right way, but the good thing about it is the Bible says this, it says he leaves the 99, and he goes after the one. So he came after me, and he loved me, and with his grace, even through all the mistakes I made, that's why I love this day so much.
Well, that's a fantastic.
thank you.
that is a fantastic answer for sure.
Thank you.
To start this off. I asked Joe this question just a few minutes ago.
Sure.
What, and it can be more than one answer, obviously.
Sure.
What is something good with the Tennessee Titans right now?
You know, just, you know, I know everybody's talking about all the guys that they got. They got Tony, you know, Tony Pollard, Cushenberry. They got Keith Murray. They got Sebastian Joseph, all the, and Calvin Ridley, and all those great players. But here's what I love that's good with the Tennessee Titans are doing. Everybody's on the same page. And that's what you love. I mean, you got the general manager, you got the head coach, you got everybody in the pro scouting working together. And there's no I and we. And the thing about it is, what I'm seeing now is everybody has identity. Everybody's on the same page, and everybody wants to win. So it just shows you that if everybody comes together, you can do some great things. And what I see and what is so positive about what's going on is that everybody is on the same page.
Let me ask, I'm going to go back to what you talked about being good for a second. You coach, I mean, you're with young men and women all day. I mean, you're a track coach, football coach. What's the message, the good message you try to get across to those boys and girls, Chris?
You know, here's what I do, and I always tell this all the time. If you don't be real, then you're not going to have real change. And what I tell these kids is that you can overcome adversity. You can make mistakes in life, but it's what you learn from the mistakes. And, you know, that's why I love mentoring kids. I love mentoring boys. I love mentoring just people in general, that don't let your failures determine your future. And that's what we do. We look back at our setback, but all it is a setback for a setup. So what I do with these kids is I just sit them down and I'm just real to them. I say, listen, y'all look at all the accolades that, you know, I broke Jesse Owens' long jump record, you know, went to the NFL, but all that stuff. But I had to fight through adversity. I had to fight through mistakes. I had to fight through all these things to be a bridge that these kids can make it through adversity, even through mistakes. And that's the message that I just appeal to these kids.
I think we asked you a few weeks ago, like, you know, if they drafted a receiver and, you know, Neighbors or Harrison, whoever, and if you could have an hour with them to sit down, I think your thing was like, don't be like me when I came into the league, right?
Yeah, I would say that thing, because the thing about it is, I mean, you know, when I came into the league, I was hot-headed. And this is just me. I was cussing people out. I was just a big knucklehead. But it was a guy named Les Steckel and Sherman Smith that sat me down and Steve Watterson and really mentored me and not just said, okay, you need to change this, but show me how to change this. And what if I had Neighbors or a Dunza from Washington or even, you know, Harrison from The Ohio State University, I would push the playbook aside and say, okay, listen, let me tell you which way to go. Let me tell you how to do these things, even in spite of the mistakes I've made. Because what we do, we as men, sometimes we're afraid, and we have this macho that you're afraid to tell people that you make mistakes or show emotion or show tears. That's hogwash. I will sit them down and say, listen, this is what Chris Sanders did. I don't want to talk about my accolades. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about that. So now they're not just prepared for football. They're prepared for life, and that's why I love coaching.
All right, back to football for a second.
Yes,
it came out yesterday that Michael Penix Jr. Ran a 4.6 at Pro Day. And here's the thing, Chris, I don't care. Can you read a defense? Can you throw the ball on time? I don't care how fast a quarterback can run a 40. Can you read a damn defense, right? Am I wrong on this?
You are not wrong, because the thing about it is you can be running a 4.3 or 4.2. It helps now. It helps for you can run a 4.3 or 4.2. But can you read defense? Can you read the blitz? Can you help set the front? Can you get the wide receivers in the right place? Also, this is the big key of the whole thing, is when a safety is blitzing the B gap, can you stand in the pocket, throw the ball, and get hit square in the mouth? That's what I'm looking for.
Right. I mean,
that's why I love Tom Brady. That's why I love Peyton Manning. You know, they'll stand in the pocket with somebody in their face and throw the ball on a dime. That's what I'm looking for. The 40 time ain't gonna 40 time is not going to help you if a safety's hitting you in the snoot. It ain't going to help.
that's a good way to put it. We're talking to forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. I did the full show with TD last week, and we were talking about We were talking about the corners and you know, getting Snead in here, and that you got three corners that can that are going to be playing their natural positions. Nobody's going to be out of position. I kind of look at the receivers the same way, Chris, that you know, now you're going to have D-Hop and Ridley to the outside. And that lets you put Treylon in the inside, which I think he was his best at Arkansas when he was in the slot. If you're him, like, aren't you excited about that, knowing that you're going to be in the best possible position to succeed?
I agree 100%. I'm going to give you a perfect example, too, because in 1998, I had a bad year the year before, so they drafted Kevin Dice, and then they brought Yancey Thigpen. So now I went from one to three automatically. So instead of me getting bitter and getting mad at everybody, I just figure out what was my best to make sure I play so well, you know, that the coaches have to play me. Now you have a situation with Treylon Burks to where, you know, he has a couple of seasons that were kind of down. Now you're in position to where the pressure's off you. Now you can get in the slot. Now you can play some towns outside and let your ability come to fruition, because everybody knows this guy has a lot of potential. Potential is just hidden ability. Now he can take that hidden ability and let it come to fruition and say, you know what, I know I had some bad years, but put me in the slot on some smaller bodies, get a safety in the court, to get a linebacker to where he can run those choice routes, catch it, uses his big body to catch the ball and take and make some big plays. So I think it's a great opportunity for Treylon Burks to exploit some of his abilities.
You just mentioned your own situation, but you witnessed it with Derek. Derek's talked about this before of that with Treylon. Like, you kind of got to make your place, and D-Mace did that. He was a special teams guy. You know, receivers got hurt, he got his opportunity and never looked back. Traylon's got to do some of the same thing. To me, though, Chris, this is when we talk about guys that have that dog in them. This is when you find out really how much dog he's got in him, because you just said it. He can get mad and he can you know, hang his head down, or he can walk in and go, hey, watch this.
Yeah, let me, and I'm glad you brought up Derek Mason. And I say this, and I'm not just trying to toot my horn. I have so much respect for Derek Mason. Let me tell you why. Is if you look at the Super Bowl, Derek Mason was the sixth receiver. He wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't even really in the rotation. So instead of him cussing at the coaches, instead of him getting mad at everybody, he came to work every day. He didn't complain to the coach. He ran every route. He knew his position. So he knew when it was his time to shine, and we both were starting, he took advantage of it. This is a perfect opportunity for Treylon Burks to take advantage of it. You got two choices, to get better or get bitter. So if you get better, I'm going to play so well. I'm going to make the plays. I'm going to have the coaches trust me so much that when it's third down, they're looking at Treylon Burks, and that's what he has the potential to do.
Chris, when you were playing, how much of the summer workout did you do with Steve and quarterbacks? I was reading this about Mahomes, how he's already reached out to the receivers that they've signed and say, hey, we're going to get together and throw, and they've already started throwing together. And this is in mid-March. How much of that – I guess the question is, how important is it, even when it's just the receiver and the quarterback out, you know, for hours on a day throwing the ball, how much camaraderie does that build?
I mean, it's like this. You know, I just got married on December 29th. And if I'm going to know my wife, I can't just text her. But, hey, baby, how you doing? I got to spend time with her, because I got to know what she likes and know what I like. And that's the same thing with a quarterback and a receiver. You know, we can email and we can text all day, but we got to get on the field and talk about things. Talk about safety blitz. Talk about if I run a certain route, where do I like the ball? So you can get to know each other. Just to kind of give you a perfect example, with the Indianapolis coach, you have Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. The reason why those guys were so great at what they did is because they knew each other. They spent time off the field. They spent time on the field. They talked in the meeting rooms. They talked when they're running the route. So with Will Levis in the same position where he's calling, you know, the other wide receivers, now I get to know you. Now I know what you like. Now I know how to place the ball where you like it. If there's a route that I run but the DB falls, I know how to throw my hand up. So you guys on the same page. That's why those guys need to do those things like this.
Fantastic answer, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Chris, I just pulled up the 1999 depth chart. There were seven receivers on that roster. Can you name all of them?
Yes. Kevin Dyson, Yancey Thigpen, Isaac Bird, Chris Sanders.
Yep.
Dang. Oh, dang. Ooh, yikes. Oh, Derek Mason, that's five.
Yep. Two more.
God, this is—I don't even know.
Is it Art Monk?
No, and Dave Craig.
Yes, there's
the other
Dave
two?
Craig.
Oh, Joey Kent.
Yep, you won't get the other one.
What college, Chase?
Northwest Mississippi Community College and Ole Miss.
Willie Green.
He played two games.
Willie Gault.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
Who?
Who?
Royal Preston.
I don't even know who the hell that is.
Sounds like a hotel near the airport.
He must have snuck up and played, because I'm like, who is that dude? He must have snuck in the game or
His career stats are 53 games, 30 receptions for 360 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Hey, I'll take it. He played in the NFL, you know.
That's right.
He played for 3 teams in 1999, Miami, the Titans, and San Francisco. Royal Preston.
I have no idea who that is.
Yep. So there you go. That's your Titans wide receivers. Chris.
Wow.
Chris, happy Easter to you and the family, and good talking to you as always, and we'll do it again next week.
Man, love you guys, bro. Y'all take care.
Okay, you too. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. I love when I pull up like an old depth chart and like it's the Mr. Burns. Who?
I covered that team every single day, and I had never heard of that guy ever.
I've never heard of him either.
But you know, it means nothing in the long run.
Next time we see Jeff Fisher, we need to ask him if he knows who that is. He might be like,
yeah, didn't I hand him my car keys up front? That's a lot of those guys that came. I mean, hell, that's not even a cup of coffee, right? I mean, that's just coming
two games,
through.
Yeah.
And I know we have the break real quick, but I know there, and nobody can help me on this, but somebody's got an answer. Preds, and I texted Jim Diamond, this can't remember. The Preds player that they traded for, remember from Atlanta? And we talked about this before, that they were going to trade him the afternoon, and he sat in a room by himself. I don't think he spoke English. I think he thought he was getting interrogated for like 4 hours.
Who was that? I need to look it up.
Gover, if you're listening, Gover, let us know. You know all this stuff.
Gover would know.
But he sat in a room because he's getting traded back out of town that afternoon.
Looking at this just got me really excited, and I want to make a point on that.
What are you looking at?
When we come back, the depth chart from 1999.
Okay, sounds good.
I'll make a point. Chase and Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.